encourage you to find the outline that's in your bulletin and be able to follow along as we turn to Ephesians chapter 5 again. Do you realize we never exhaust God's Word? Isn't that wonderful? We can do the same passage. I remember I heard about a preacher one time who preached, and the next Sunday he preached the same sermon. Somebody said, "What are you doing?" He said, "When you start doing that, I'll preach another one." I'm not going to do that. But it's amazing. We take God's Word, the Scriptures, and there's so much to learn and to discover in them that we are mighty blessed to do so. So Ephesians chapter 5. In the passages earlier, he's been talking about being people of light and not walking in darkness, and our lives being changed and transformed by the way that Christ works in our life and living that out and exposing the deeds of darkness by our lifestyle and by what we teach. I'll pick up in verse 15 of Ephesians 5. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks in all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." We could spend a lot more time than I want to on all those verses, but let's think about choosing to live with wisdom. It begins in this section, verse 15, be careful how you walk, how you live, what your lifestyle is like. Not as unwise, but as wise. We think about wisdom. We think about knowing how to do things or do them right. But what's the basis of wisdom? The Scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is doing things God's way. Wisdom is applying the principles of all that God has said in His Word to our day-to-day life in such a way that we are changed by them for the better. So when you talk about walking in wisdom, living with wisdom, that's the attitude we want. So the things I'm going to share, I think, are related to doing that, to living in wisdom. How do we live in wisdom? And what will help us do that in the verses that follow? So being careful or conscious to live right or to live with respect, to live with honor. Different translations use the words. Some say walk circumspectly. That is with a way that glorifies God in what we do. That's wise along the way. So let's think about choosing to live with wisdom. The first thing on your notes is make the most of God-given time. Make the most of God-given time. Verse 16 talks about making the most of your time because the days are evil. Because there's things around us that would destroy us, things around us that would sidetrack us. So we want to make the most of God-given time. How much time does God give you? That's true, but He gives you 24 hours a day as long as you're living until He takes you home. So many minutes, so many seconds. I forgot how many seconds. I heard it was thousands of seconds He gives us every day that He grants us until He takes us home. So, when we think about using the time God's given, let me read the first passage on your notes. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Take advantage of the opportunity. You have been here for a little while. A few minutes. Can you go back and get back what you just lived through? It's over. That time is gone. Now, what did you do with that time? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. At all times, what did I do with that time that can never be reclaimed? Sometimes we can gain health again or we can gain finances again, but time is never regained in this world. Now, when we go to heaven, we don't worry about time. I understand that. I want to make the most of the time while I have opportunity. When God gives me a chance to do something for Him, I want to do it. When God gives me a chance to live right or godly, I want to do it. When God gives me a chance to minister to other people, I want to do it because that's the opportunity He's given to me. Make the most of, it's wise to make the most of God-given time. I think everybody would look back and say, would you go back and do something over in your life if you could? All of us have things that we would like to do. I wish I could do it over. But we don't get to do a do-over. Not that way. So, let's say, God, help me do it right the first time in walking with you so I don't have to regret and go back and wish I'd done it differently. I know we don't ever perfectly do that. I wish I did. But to at least more so, as we think about what God wants for us, to do it more fully, more, and to do it well. Let me read the other scripture passage. Jesus answered, it was neither this man that sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the work of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. Talked about the man who sinned, and Jesus said nobody sinned. It was God at work. But only notice what He said. We must work the works of God. How long? While it is day. While I have opportunity. While the chance comes. Because the night is coming when nobody can work. Now that ultimately means dying, I suppose. But is it possible that what you want to do, you could be hindered? Could you get in bad health and can't do what you want to do? Things can happen to us. Circumstances can change. So what I see in that is this. It's wise to give God priority in my life. It's wise to do the things I know I need to be doing for Him every day when I can, as long as I can. Because time goes by too quickly. Most of us, well, I wouldn't say most of us, some of us in this room. There's some younger ones here today. Good. Praise the Lord. But we realize time goes by quickly. I remember, you know, when you was a kid, you know, waiting for Christmas was like forever. And now it comes before you turn around. It seems that the perspective changes. But it goes by quickly. So, as I think about it, he said in verse 16, make the most of the time God given you because the days are evil. Some of you knew what I was going to do, but I'm going to do this anyway. And thanks to Chuck for tightening this up so it didn't dump. Is this full? Not yet. Some of you have seen this before, I imagine, huh? Okay. Well, let's try something else. Huh? Oh, somebody did this in BBS? Oh. Well, let's try to put some of this in there and see if that'll do anything or not. In the meantime, some of you know what I'm going to get with this, I guess, but that's all right. It's at least you can take a break. You don't have to listen too much. It may take longer to do this than I thought it would. Yeah, you got a lot of holes around those rocks, huh? A lot more than you think about. Maybe I didn't. I may not have got enough to do this. Yeah. Forget the thing. I'll do it quicker this way, I think. Do what? Well, I'm going to ask you, is that full now? Do what? There might be. Well, we'll see what else we can do then. Somebody already figured out what I'm going to do. So I have to be careful so I don't have to clean up the floor later. And it holds more water than you think. Oh, I'm full. Oh, well, It'll dry. Praise the Lord for that. It'll dry out. Well, are you saying it's about full? You called it full? I can put a little more in there, I think. Probably. What's this mean? Why did I do that? What do you think the principle that would tell me? Anybody got an idea? Never too much you can learn. That's good. Somebody else got an idea? The solid rock, yeah, that's good too. You have more time than you think. Here's what I want you to know. You have to put the big rocks in first in order to have room so the other stuff comes. They're already in there. What I'm saying is you have to put Jesus first, give Him priority, or you'll never have time for Him. Because we all can... Don't you ever have stuff crowd into your life? So you've got to put Him first. You've got to put the big rock, the important things in first. Give Him priority, and the rest of the things will fit together. Second note, thing on your outline, seek the will of the Lord. Seek the will of the Lord. Verse 17, He said, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Notice He said, it's wise to discover the will of God for your life and for ministry. The Scripture says, if I don't, what am I? What am I if I don't seek to know what God's will is? He said, I'm foolish. I'm foolish. It's wise to discover what God's will is. How am I going to find that? I'm going to find it right here as I read and study and apply it. This is going to give me the will of God. And He'll apply it to our individual lives where we live. But as God revealed all His will right here, is this book tell me everything God that I need to know from the Lord? It's wise for me to seek Him and to seek His will in the Word. Now, I know He reveals truth to us, the applications of it to us. But I want to discover the will of the Lord. Because that's smart. Doing things God's way is just plain old smart. Now, some people think we're foolish because we set up Christian principles and do them that way. And the world says, well, you know, that's not wise. When you do things God's way, it always turns out better. And it's always a blessing. And the result I like a whole lot better when I do it my way. The Scripture in your notes says, all that the Father gives me, this is Jesus talking, all the Father gives me will come to me, and one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He hath given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Now Jesus talked about the will of the Father, that He came to do the will of the Father. Jesus' life on earth was done exactly what He understood the Father wanted Him to do. He was not free to do things on His own apart from what the Father said. So He said that in the Scripture passage, I came to do the will of Him who sent me. And then He said, the will of Him who sent me, of those He's given me, I lose nothing but raise up on the last day. Hallelujah. It's God's will, if you receive Christ as Savior, that He'll keep you until the last day. And He'll raise you up. Folks, that's wonderful. We lost a loved one this week. Others lose love. Aren't you glad to know that on the last day He's going to raise them up? It's the will of the Father. And I can count on that will to happen. Because Jesus said, it's the Father's will for me. But I want you to notice what else He said. Well, this is the will of my Father. Everyone who beholds the Son, Jesus, and believes in Him, trusts Him, commits your life to Him, will have eternal life. That's the will of the Father. That's His desire for every human being, that they commit their lives to Jesus and receive Him as Savior and Lord. And I myself, Jesus said, will raise him up on the last day. I myself, Jesus said, I'll do it. I won't send an angel. I won't have it. I'm going to come and do it myself. I'm going to raise you up. Now, the question I ask is, if you want to know the will of God, it starts with seeing Jesus, understanding who he is, that he died for you, he lived for you, he rose again for you, he ascended for you, and he's coming back for you. If you believe in him, those who receive him, who commit their life to him, will have eternal life. Not because we did a lot of stuff, not because we went to service, not because we prayed, not because we're good, but because Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, is coming back. That Jesus saves us from our sins when we cry out to him and ask him to forgive us of our sins. That's the will of the Father. That's the will of the Lord for all of us. That's the basic will, and then we discover individually. Let me read the other, second passage on that side. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I want you to notice something. He talks about discovering the will of God in the second verse. But in the first verse, it says we are to present ourselves, our bodies, our lives, as a living and holy sacrifice. Now, when you offer a sacrifice, what happens to the sacrifice? It's dead. It dies. So what I'm saying is, I offer my life and I die to my plan, my will, my goals, my desires, and say, God, I give them to you. And it says, when I offer them to you as an acceptable sacrifice, then, as a part of our worship, and I set my mind to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, then I can discover the will of God. You get the picture? I come and present my life to God. I want to give up my plans and I want yours. And I seek you and your ways and your plans for me. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can discover the will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. God's plan for each of us is good. It will always produce good. It will always benefit us. It's something we ought to be able to accept, and it's perfect. It's just right for each of us. So if I want to discover the will of God, it's wise to seek the will of God. I come and I submit my life to him and I cry out, Lord, help me discover your will, which is good and acceptable and perfect. The last verse on that side says, the world is passing away, and also it's lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That's a pretty good incentive. Pretty good incentive. The one who does the will of God. And so, I'm saying it's wise to make the most of my time. It's wise to seek the will of God in my life. Bobby Richardson was a New York Yankee second baseman some time ago. He was at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting, and this is a prayer he prayed, a very short prayer, but I think it captures what I'm thinking. He said this, Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. That's a pretty good philosophy, I think, for us to work with. On the other side of your notes, be being filled with Holy Spirit. In verse 18, he talked about, don't get drunk with wine under the influence of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, what do we mean? It means that we're yielding control of our lives to God's Holy Spirit to direct our lives and let him work in us. I think one of the hardest things for me to do is to give control to God. I think I do, and then sometimes I realize, wait a minute, Lord, I'm doing it. I'm not trusting you. I'm not yielding to your direction. I'm not even seeking your direction sometimes. So when I'm filled with the Spirit, it means I am walking under his leadership and his lordship and doing things his way. Don't you notice the verse, this section that I put on your notes says, but the Jews inside the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district, but they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. But the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It says that as they were persecuted, chased out of the city, but the last verse said they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. What did I say, being filled? See, when I say being, it is not a one-shot. No, I didn't get this full either, but anyway. It's a continuing filling. It's a continuing yielding. It's continuing being available. Sometimes individuals say, well, if you get Holy Spirit, you got it and you don't have it to do it. It's a continual yielding of my life to the Lordship of Christ as I see it and asking Holy Spirit to direct me. Does He direct you? If you're listening, He'll direct you. A number of times I've seen that happen in my life. And when I listen, I discover that it works every time. Because He brings to our attention through the filling of the Spirit things He wants us to know and to do. He guides us. He directs us. He brings insights. He causes restrictions in our life and renewal in our life. He speaks to us. And I want to be being filled. That means I yield my life to Him. When I've yielded my life to Him and seeking to follow Him, I can be filled with the Spirit. Under His control, under His Lordship. What I see in that verse is as the wine might control me, he said, I want to be controlled by God's Spirit. His Spirit in me, walking in me and yielding my life to Him. So I want to be being filled. That's wise. To continually seek the Spirit's leadership. Another aspect of this, of being wise, is worship the Lord. In verse 19, he talked about speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, I don't know, do you talk to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Now, some of you don't want me to do that, but that's all right. But do you find as a believer that God uses songs to speak to your heart, to draw you? Some of you have favorite songs that if you hear them, it renews your relationship. It refreshes your soul. And he talks about this worshiping the Lord through music, through singing, he said speaking to one another. It didn't say singing here. With those kind of things, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The passage I've listed on, Jesus answered and said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and Him serve Him only. Worship the Lord. What's my focus when I gather together like today? Who am I really listening to? Am I listening to the Spirit of God or am I listening to the preacher? Is there a difference? Absolutely. Hopefully I'm sharing with you things about the Lord, but if I come to worship and I really seek to worship the Lord and my focus is on Him, will I worship Him? Will I worship Him if everything isn't quite the way I want it to be? Will I worship Him if the music isn't the style I like? If I'm really worshiping Him? Will I worship Him if my neighbor doesn't seem to be paying attention? You see, when I focus on Him, all the other stuff is secondary. Now, sometimes people say, well, I couldn't enjoy that worship because so-and-so was talking to somebody else. Well, how come you listen to them instead of Him? I couldn't worship because I didn't like the offertory hymn. Or they didn't sing the song I wanted. Jesus said we're to worship the Father how? Spirit and truth. If I'm doing it that way, I want to focus on the living God. And if He's the one I'm focusing on, all the other stuff is secondary. I like what somebody said a long time ago. We worship an audience of one. The living God. We're not here to worship each other. We're here to focus on Him. Because He's the one who saved us. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who's going to take us to heaven. He's the one who guides us. And I want to focus on the living God. So when we talk about worship, singing together, coming together with songs and spiritual songs, making melody with your heart where? To the Lord. To Him. who loved us and died for us. So he becomes the object of my worship. And I want to worship him in all that I do. Then he talked about giving thanks, which is a part of worship in verse 20. He said, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Give God thanks for all things. Now, there's another verse that says give thanks in all things, but this one says give thanks for all things. The scripture listed on your notes says rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's kind of hard to give thanks when you're hurting, isn't it? But can I thank him anyway? I can. I can thank him for it. I mentioned this the other day, but I just want to remind it again. Back when I had the sore throat and yuckies, and many of you had it, you don't really feel like praying. I mean, you want to, but it's hard. But what hit me was, Holy Spirit is interceding for me right then. And Jesus is interceding for me right then. And I felt a whole lot better when I realized I got two praying for me when I don't feel like praying. Or maybe nobody else is. God the Father, God my Savior Jesus, and God's gift of the Holy Spirit is interceding for me in the midst of those times. And that was a joy to my soul to think about that. So I want to worship him. I want to give him thanks that he's praying for me. I need it. And I'm grateful for that. So I'm going to give God thanks for all things. And in all things. Does it change your perspective when you give thanks? Does it change the circumstances? Not necessarily. It changes our response to them. Like somebody said, life is 10% what happens to us and 90% what we do with it. Some say 20 and 80, but anyway. It's our response. So two things under that I want to think about. Give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, give thanks in all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the scripture on that says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What do you mean I give thanks in the name? It means because of Jesus, I'm born again. Because of Jesus, I'm saved. Because of Jesus, I can reach the Father. Because of Jesus, I can pray and he'll hear me. Because of Jesus, my life is being directed because I'm yielded to him and he's directing my life. And so I lift up my prayer to Jesus. It doesn't mean we can't pray to the Father. I'm not saying that. But I give it in the name of Jesus because the connection between me and God, the connection between me and the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. And my faith in him and my yielding to him. And through Jesus, the person of Christ, I have Holy Spirit and have access to God the Father. So I come and I give thanks in his name to his glory. That don't mean I always got to pray in the name of Jesus. I can pray in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, pray in the name of the Holy Spirit, all three, it doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is I recognize that Jesus Christ is my contact. He is the one I give thanks in. The last thing on your notes is give thanks to God. It said in verse 20, giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. The verse that I've listed from Psalm says, you are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you. We want to make him the focus of our thanksgiving. So I said a while ago, he becomes the object of our worship. And I want to praise him, thank him. I read one lady, a person who decided to write down thanks they were thankful for over a period of time. And when she got through, well, when she got through, but later she had 14,000 things she had listed that God had done for them. And if you and I start listing the things we're thankful for, could you write a page or 2 pages or 3 pages? When you think about all that he's done, I give thanks to God alone because he's the source of it. If I have a job and he gives it to me, who gives it to me? God. Who gives me the health to do it? God. Who gives me the skills to do it? God. Who gave me an opportunity to live in this country where I can do that? God. Who gave me the background, the people, the training, all those things? Who helped me learn when I tried to learn? God. So I want to give thanks to him. I adore him. I want to worship Him. So that's wisdom. What I'm saying is, He talked about be wise. We make the most of our time. We seek the will of the Lord. We ask Him to fill us with His Spirit continually. We worship God. Give Him thanks in all things. And focus on the grace of God in Jesus and give God thanks. That's a wise person as I read that scripture. So may God help us do that. Today, if you don't know Jesus, the wisest thing you can ever do is open your heart to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know You, but I want to know You. Would You come and forgive me of my sins and save me? That's wise. If you're having difficulty in some area of life, you bring it to Him and say, God, help me discover Your will in this area. I give it to You. I come to worship You. And as I begin today and throughout the day, I'm going to say, thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Worship You, Lord, for everything that comes. Because You're in the midst of it. Does God really control your circumstances? He does. And He orchestrates them for His benefit and for our glory, for His glory and for our good, always, always. So what do we need to commit to Him? I don't know. But as you pray about it, as you seek the will of the Lord, you commit your life to surrendering to Him, doing His way. Let's bow together. Lord, I thank You that You know us. You know the things.